The Hegg Bakken Report, produced by the Bakken experts, Hegg Companies, founded in 1945.
Our guest today is Maren Katusa, author of The Colder War, a book in which one of the major actors is Russian President Vladimir Putin. From the Hegg Companies, this is the Hegg Bakken Report.
Hear the latest news from Bakken newsmakers. Subscribe to the Hegg Bakken Report podcast on iTunes at heggcompanies.com/podcast.
From the Hegg Companies Dickinson, North Dakota studios in the heart of the Bakken, this is the Hegg Bakken Report podcast for the third week of November 2014. The Bakken rig count stands at 185, and West Texas Intermediate crude's being traded at $74.61 a barrel at press time. We'll be back with Maren Katusa, author of The Colder War, coming up on the Hegg Bakken Report.
If you need workforce housing in the heart of the Bakken, Amber Hills Lodge in Wofford City is the answer. Amber Hills Lodge has private suites, kitchen, and on-site laundry, DirecTV with NFL ticket, high-speed internet, and more. There are long-term and short-term leases available. Amber Hills Lodge, conveniently located 1 mile south of the latest grocery, retail, shopping, and restaurant development in Wofford City. For more information, go to amberhillslodging.com or call Jackie at 605-336-2111.
Whether your needs are long-term or short-term, Green Door Business Condos and Self-Storage in Wofford City has just what you're looking for. They're open 24 hours a day and are a fully gated premises with cameras and climate-controlled units that will put you at ease that your office and storage items are safe and secure. Green Door Business Condos offers high-speed internet, training rooms, conference facilities, garage, and storage yard for your equipment. Give Kelsey a call today, 605-336-2111, and find out about their great rates and availability. Get on their waiting list now for the end of 2014.
Today on the Hegg Bakken Report, we get in touch with quite an accomplished individual. He's a former mathematics professor, now a successful portfolio manager with top performing funds in the energy and resource exploration sector, a speaker with a financial mind in the energy sector, an entrepreneur, founding director of Copper Mountain, Canada's third largest coal mine, among other things. And his book, The Colder War, was released on Monday, November 10th. Maren Katusa, welcome to the Hegg Bakken Report.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You were formerly a mathematics professor. Tell us about transitioning from academics to being one of the most successful portfolio managers in the energy and resource exploration sector, if you would, sir.
Sure. Well, it wasn't easy. The key focus that I learned was investing in the right people. For example, Copper Mountain, which is the third largest producing copper mine across Canada, I teamed up with a Hall of Fame mining guy named Jim O'Rourke, who built five large porphyry copper mines. And by investing with the right people at the right stage and the right projects, you really learn what it takes to build a project, whether, you know, it's a copper mine, a gold mine, a uranium project, or oil or gas field. So everything in investing starts with the people. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the aspects you learn in school don't quite as easily convert into the real world. So the best way to really learn is to get out there and do it.
What did you know about mining prior to getting into Copper Mountain?
Well, interestingly enough, I did a lot of my courses in undergrad. My scholarship was in sciences in my first undergrad degree, and the professor at the time really encouraged me to get out of geology. It was right at the bottom of the bear market. There was no job for geologists or resource engineers, and I took his advice, even though I really enjoyed the rocks, studying the rocks. And later on, that professor was one of the world's top shale oil and gas analysts or geologists in the world, where some of the biggest companies in the world, like Total, looked to him for his advice. Well, he ended up working for me a decade later full-time, so I really learned from his geological mind. But technically, essentially very little until I jumped in, and unfortunately, now I know more than I ever dreamed I would about running and building a copper mine that I don't know if I'll ever want to do it again.
Oh, I'm sure. Your book that you recently released, The Colder War, How the Global Energy Trade Slipped from America's Grasp. What is the Colder War?
Well, it's essentially, it starts with Russia. Under the leadership of Vladimir Putin, Russia has been able to reestablish itself as a global superpower. But more importantly, the big difference between the first Cold War and where we have entered today. And just today, Angela Merkel, the leader of Germany, came out and said we are in a new cold era. Vladimir Putin said it's the West that's provoking Russia's actions, which are leading to a Cold War. You've had Gorbachev and Henry Kissinger all state that we're in a new Cold War. But the big difference between the first Cold War and what I'm calling the Colder War is the emerging markets, such as China, are now working in concert with with Russia against the interests of the U.S. and Europe internationally. And that is the key fundamental difference. And all of this is going to be leading towards the judgment day of the petrodollar, which, if it does fall, will be a significant decline to the way of life in America.
We'll bring up Mr. Putin again here in just a moment. But what stands in the way of America capitalizing on the global energy trade?
Well, many things. For example, you look at the infrastructure. Let's talk about the success of the U.S. where they've had in the shale gas sector. Unfortunately, the U.S. are 5 years behind Russia and Australia and Qatar in the race for LNG. Let's talk about the condensates. Even though, you know, there's great potential for the NGL and condensate sector in the U.S., the infrastructure is yet not built for it to compete with Saudi Arabia in the international markets today. It will get there. The infrastructure will be built, but it will take time. We see how long the Keystone XL pipeline has taken. But more importantly, let's look at uranium, for example. A lot of people in the U.S. don't realize that for the last 20 years in America, 10% of all the electricity generated in America, that's one in every 10 homes, came from Russian-sourced uranium. That's a scary fact. When you look in 2013, more uranium was produced on American soil by a Russian company than all of the American companies combined.
Wow. Wow.
You know, that's a scary fact, and that's the reality, and the media doesn't talk about it. That's what we're trying to expose in the Colder War book.
Is it too late for the United States to become an energy exporter, and is it likely?
Well, you know, it's not too late, but America has to change its foreign policy, and it has to, you know, really push fast forward on the mistakes that it's made. You know, the infrastructure needs to be built. That's going to cost billions of dollars. It's never too late, but, you know, unfortunately, the U.S. shale sector is in competition, not just with OPEC, but also Russia. So, you know, a lot of changes have to happen, but there is still a chance for America to be very competitive in this.
Just a moment ago, you mentioned Russian President Vladimir Putin, who is a major actor in your book, and you paint a picture of him much different from the media's typical portrayal of him. And why is this, and what role does Putin play in global energy?
Well, he controls the center of the chessboard. You know, in my book, we just focus on the facts. And the reality here is Putin has created a platform for a strong foundation for Russia's future. When you look at where Russia was at the collapse of the Soviet Union, it was in shambles. The oligarchs took over all the industry and the politics, and Putin essentially consolidated not just the energy sector, but the resource sector, the manufacturing, all aspects of the economy, including the politics and media, and he first took control of Russia. Then he started on, you know, the exports of the resources. You look at someone like Germany, which is the powerhouse of the European Union. People don't realize, and you'll never read in the newspapers, that Germany has actually increased their dependence on oil from Russia by over 52% in the last decade.
Wow.
That is scary. More importantly, Putin has, you know, because of the negative or the side effect of these U.S. sanctions against Russia, it has pushed fast forward and accelerated the negotiations between Russia and China, and now Russia and China are working closer together than ever in the past on some of the world's largest construction projects, and now there's a competition for the Russian energy sources that Europe was hoping it would have, and now that's going to be going to China. For example, just off the existing projects that they have planned, more natural gas will be sold into just China than all of Europe combined.
What can our policymakers here in the United States learn from Putin?
Well, definitely it's about having more than a three-month or a quarterly plan. If you look at Obama's failed foreign policy, you know, you have to understand, truly understand international politics. And, you know, if the new it's not going to change under Obama, first of all, but if the new president comes in and understands that they need to treat Russia as an equal, they need to realize that they need to pay attention to Russia's interests in the Ukraine and globally, and also treat China as an equal, then we can come closer to a solution. But until then, the colder war will only get worse. Unfortunately, there will not be a near-term solution to the colder war. It's going to take many, many years before this plays out.
Mr. Katusa, do you believe that the United States can achieve energy independence?
No. Not with the existing infrastructure and the policies present. That report that talked about, you know, the media took energy independence came from the IEA, and the report itself was over 350 pages. I went through every page, and we wrote the 12 errors of the report. And the report itself never said America would become energy independent. What it said was if all these things happened, it could almost become energy independent. The reality is even today, the U.S. still imports over 6 million barrels a day. So you look at America imports 90% of the uranium that it consumes. Remember, uranium produces 20% of all of the electricity generated in America. So for the next decade, no, America will definitely not become energy independent.
In the book, The Colder War, you focus on the United States dollar as the de facto currency for oil, also known as the petrodollar, which you mentioned here a few minutes ago. Is the petrodollar at risk of no longer being the standard currency for oil?
Definitely, it's already at risk. If you see what the new contracts between Iran and China, they're non-U.S. dollars. You look at the contracts between Russia and China, they're in non-U.S. dollars. If you look at the emerging markets creating now, the BRIC bank, that's in competition for the IMF. That will be done in non-U.S. dollars. And most importantly, even allies of America are now doing trillions of dollars worth of currency swaps with the emerging markets in non-U.S. dollars. And this is all very negative to the U.S. petrodollar.
How would that influence the United States?
Well, very negatively. First of all, if the petrodollar collapses, the demand for the U.S. dollar will decrease. That will cost higher. It'll basically cost the Americans more to finance their debt, which ends up meaning that the working class will have higher cost of a standard of living, which will therefore decline their standard of living. And most importantly, all the boomers who are on a fixed income will significantly suffer because of the higher costs. So, you know, these are very realistic problems, and, you know, the next president's going to have to be dealing with the demise of the petrodollar.
How does the declining price of oil influence the international oil and gas markets, specifically Russia, as well as the U.S. shale drilling production?
Sure. So if you look at what's going on right now, oil's just hovering just below $75 per barrel. The Russians can produce oil and profit very nicely at $75 oil. They've been the number one or two oil producer for over the last 100 years. Saudi Arabia, same thing. They can produce oil at $20 a barrel and make a nice margin. The difference is that these countries really have expanded their state budgets based on $100. They just have to pull that back. More importantly, on November 27th, OPEC has to decide on do they cut production or keep production the same. The last time they cut production was in 2009, and they cut over 1.25 million barrels a day of production. They invited Russia into the OPEC meetings. Remember, OPEC has invited Russia into OPEC. Russia declined. Russia will never join OPEC. And because Russia will do what's convenient for Russia. During that cutback of production for OPEC, Russia actually increased its oil production and increased its market share. The difference this time around is U.S. shale sector is a significant swing producer now internationally. America used to be Saudi Arabia's number one customer. Now it's become a major competitor to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Qatar for its NGLs, natural gas liquids, and condensates. So Saudi Arabia and America used to have a great, you know, strong relationship. Now Saudi Arabia has seen its number one customer become its competitor. So for OPEC to pull back, all they're doing is making the shale sector stronger. So can the U.S. shale sector survive at $75? Definitely. Even though all the media says it can't, there's many companies that will not survive, but the reality is that the best companies in the sweet spots will do just fine at $75 oil.
Where do you see the price of oil going in the foreseeable future?
I think within the next 6 months, we'll see $65 to $60 oil in the near term. And during that time, the big producers, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, they'll be fighting for market share. But the big risk here is, at that point, will Saudi Arabia be able to sustain its social funding programs? Saudi Arabia is at major risk here to fall. Another big problem internationally is the seven choke points. If you look at the Strait of Malacca or the Strait of the Hormuz Strait, that's two-thirds of all seaborne oil going through two very narrow straits. That's one-third of all the oil in the world. So there's a lot of risk to it, and I think that within 5 years we'll see $125 oil. If something happens to Saudi Arabia, overnight you'll see a $25 pop in the spot price of oil.
Our conversation with Marin Katusa, author of The Colder War, continues in just a moment here on the Hegg Bakken Report.
Are you looking for apartments with luxury, location, and convenience? Then check out Watford City's newest addition, Auburn Ridge Apartments, located off Highway 23 in the Hunter's Run master-planned community. Auburn Ridge offers all the amenities of comfortable living in the heart of the Bakken. Auburn Ridge offers studio, one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom units with on-site laundry, DirecTV, high-speed internet, exterior decks, private and paved parking, and the options of furnished apartments. Auburn Ridge will have you feeling at home in no time. Auburn Ridge is now leasing apartments for December 2014. Contact Kelsey at 605-336-2111 to find out about leasing options and pricing.
For the finest in luxury living, the Minot North Highlands Apartments and Villas welcomes you home. Minot North Highlands features spacious furnished corporate housing with underground parking, a 30-seat movie theater, a large swimming pool and hot tub, plus a basketball court, fitness center, and a family playground complex. Minot North Highlands Apartments. You know you have arrived. For information, call Jackie at 605-336-2111.
The book is titled The Colder War. It was released just weeks ago, and it was written by Marin Katusa, who joins us on today's Hegg Bakken Report. Mr. Katusa, the focus of our podcast is the Bakken Shale Play region. How do your ideas and prediction related to geopolitics and global energy influence the operations of energy companies working in small North Dakota communities?
I think that people will see that there will be a glut of NGLs. There will also be a glut of condensates. But in the sweet spot of the Bakken and the sweet spot of the Eagleford, even in Marcellus, they'll do just fine at $75 oil, as will certain areas in the Montney. The companies that are significantly leveraged and needed $100 oil, they're going to suffer, and they'll probably go bankrupt, and you'll see a consolidation in the sector. We already see it with Halliburton taking over Baker Hughes. So expect more consolidation, but the strong companies will grow.
There's some people who strongly oppose hydraulic fracturing. Now, do the environmental concerns outweigh the positive aspects of hydraulic fracturing?
Look, it's scientifically proven that the fracturing does not affect the water tables. You see the movies like Gasland. They portray the picture of the sinks catching on fire. That's coming from natural occurring methane. So we will look back at this time, and yes, there were pits where the water, because 3 to 5 million gallons of water are used per frac. There were initially in the early days some of that backwash water from the frac where you retrieve it did get into the groundwater, but that wasn't from fracking. That was from the storage and the movement of the water. So we'll look back at it and it'll prove that it's just fine.
At the time of this interview, we're somewhat waiting for news out of Washington on the Keystone XL pipeline bill, which passed through the House of Representatives. The Senate expected to vote on the bill today. What do you predict is going to happen?
Well, they're going to pass it. And, it's in the interest of the Democrats to push themselves away from Obama. And also the GOP is pushing forward, and they want the job creation. So, it's the right thing for America. America has to make a choice. Do they want to rely on Venezuelan heavy oil? Do they want to bring in Canadian heavy oil? If the people have decided, and now if Obama wants to veto it, which I do not expect him to do, the reality is it will be built.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, the longevity of the North Dakota oil boom and drilling and other shale oil formations is debated. How long do you predict the shale oil revolution is going to last?
I think we're just in the beginning. The American ingenuity, the technology innovations, we've just scratched the surface off this. And I read a lot of reports and just shake my head. Yes, there's decline rates, but if you look at the improvement in the fracs, the, you know, just 7-8 years ago, doing an 8-stage frac was an impressive thing. Now you're seeing multi-stage fracs, over 48-stage fracs per well. You see from the same pad, you're going to see super pads and super fracs being brought in. These are things that just 3-4 years ago were science fiction concepts. Well, they're reality now. So the sector will improve. They're going to become more innovative, and they're going to be able to extract more oil and natural gas from this type formation, and it'll even happen at a lower cost. So I'm very bullish on the U.S. shale sector.
What advice would you give folks looking to invest in U.S. energy production?
I think it's really important to be very company selective. Not all shales are the same, and we've been writing about this for years. More importantly, you have to dig in and learn about the financials. Just because a company talks about barrels of oil equivalent, what are its true netbacks? What does it really produce? You know, how much debt does the company have? So take your time, invest in the right companies, and you will do very well.
In 10 years, how will the energy and resources sector be different internationally and domestically than it is today?
I think the number one thing we'll see is natural gas currently is essentially a very localized market. In a decade, I see it becoming much more internationalized via LNG, very similar to how we see oil as a very international market. And I think we'll see uranium specifically at significantly higher prices as the world evolves. GDP growth is directly correlated to your electricity consumption. So countries like China and the emerging markets cannot grow their GDPs unless they control their energy consumption. And, you know, I just got back from China. There's an airpocalypse going on right now. They have the highest asthma rates in the world. They have to get away from coal, and they're going to move towards cleaner energy. And the most efficient and cleanest and cost-effective form of green energy is actually nuclear energy. So we'll see more energy being created. The world will consume more oil than it does today, and you'll see the GDPs of countries growing.
The book is called The Colder War, How the Global Energy Trade Slipped from America's Grasp, and available at the usual outlets, I'm assuming, Amazon.com, and where else?
Barnes & Nobles and bookstores across North America.
Outstanding. What books have you read, sir, that have impacted your personal and your professional career?
Well, I truly believe that every year, what I like to do on the 1st of January every year, I like to read Security Analysis and The Intelligent Investor. I think Warren Buffett's, you know, those were the role models he looked to. Benjamin Graham and Jim Dodd, they were great writers. But if you want to start light, those are tough reads. But if you want to start light, one of my favorite books that if you're, you know, a novice to the investing sector, I love a book. It's a very easy read. It takes maybe an hour to read it. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. I think that is a fantastic book, and it's something that everyone should read.
Okay, The Colder War, available where you mentioned. Written by Mr. Marin Katusa, who joined us on the Hegg Bakken Report today. Mr. Katusa, thank you so much for your time, and good luck in the future.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure.
If you want more of the Hegg Bakken Report, you can subscribe to the Hegg Bakken Report at iTunes or go to HeggBakkenReport.com. That's HeggBakkenReport.com, where you can get all of the transcripts and audio for past newsmakers in the United States energy industry and much, much more. Follow the Hegg Bakken Report on Twitter at Hegg Bakken Report or on Facebook. Until next time, thanks for listening.